Hi, beautiful people. I'm Desiree K, and this is Jesus Healing and Everything in Between. I think I've done this enough to get it right by now. Hopefully. Well, I'm late, but I don't really think any of my listeners actually follow that deeply, so you probably didn't know that I miss. It probably isn't bothering you much. I try to post once a month. I don't know where I left off, because my dog started moving on the bed, and my other dog got up. Then I realized my clock was still on the wall, and it was going to pick up the ticking, because this mic is really good at picking things up. So, whatever, I don't know what I was saying. I'm late, but here I am, I'm here. life is wild. It's wild. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening in my life. I've talked about it in different podcast episodes. There's just so much happening. There's so much happening, and I don't know what to do with it. But as my friend and I talked about it today, it's like, you know, there's a movie being made right now, and nobody's allowed to see it until it's ready. And so when everything is said and done and complete, then I can tell the story. But for now, I have a select couple of people very deeply involved and very close in my life that are following along. But those are the only people that get the behind the scenes access. So yeah, I don't really know where to start with that. I'm just in a weird place, and oh, I remember what I was gonna say. I've been working on my content. So I know the podcast is not super popular. I don't expect it to be, but I know that it's very lengthy and people have really short attention spans, all thanks to social media and just the natural decline of our world. So I decided that I was going to go ahead and work on shorter content to also reach people. This is just the longer version of everything if people want to know things, but yeah. So I've been working on that and just going with the adjustments of my life right now and the changes that I'm experiencing. So yeah, no excuses, but I'm late. So here we are. I've had this topic on my heart for months now, and the Lord really made it clear he wanted me to talk about it. I didn't know when, but as I got my notes together, I really felt like, all right, I think I'm ready to talk about this. And then today, I don't even know. I was going to record this earlier. My tripod broke, so I've used tape to keep it together. I think this will work, hopefully. The hope is that it'll work. But yeah, the maintenance guy showed up right before I clicked record, so then I had to go do things, and the rest of the day got away from me, and so I came home, and I'm like, all right, we're doing an evening pod, and we're going to talk about sex. So that's a good way to get into it, right? So I personally feel I've been really bothered by this argument, if you will. I talked about it in one of my podcasts previously about homosexuality, and I was like, yo, like, fornication is just as bad as homosexuality, so why are we acting like it's bigger and worse than the other? Like, God hates all sexual sin. So I want to make it very clear, I was not trying to start anything or come at anybody about homosexuality. What was really frustrating is someone tried to argue with me about that publicly, and I was like, I'm literally, like, kind of crapping on this side. Like, I'm like, yo, guys, like, what are you doing to the Christians? Like, to us, speaking for my side. And someone from the opposing side was, like, coming at me about homosexuality and, like, what I was saying about them, and I'm like, I'm so sorry that, you know, you got poked here, but, like, I'm not, was it talking to you, actually? Like, it just, it's so funny to me. The older I get, the more I observe, the more I learn, there are these words that people just cannot stand. And the two words that I know people have been the most triggered by in the past few months, at least in my experience, homosexuality and Jesus. So, I don't know, man. You know, I know why Jesus is a trigger word, because Jesus is the answer. I mean, Jesus' name heals and casts out the darkness and all that. But as far as the homosexuality, like, I'm not here to talk to you about homosexuality today. I mean, it's likely it will be brought up in some way, but it's not the topic. I'm talking to the peeps out here who are still excusing sexual sin. So I want to come to you first. I'm speaking on this confidently as someone who's been on the sinful side of it and the not so, I don't know what you want to call that, like the more pure side of it. I have shared a few things of my testimony over the years, stories about my past with sexual sin and all that. So you can always go back and listen to that more in depth if you want. I don't plan on going so like super deep into it today, but I do understand how difficult it is to abstain from sexual sin. I've been there. Yes. Even me. So first, I want to admit, because I'm sure everybody in the world knows that I was married, I did wait to have intercourse with my husband, but we did other things that still counted as sexual activity. So I do believe I fornicated, you know, like it, I had to deal with that sin too. And there was a lot. So I've never experienced actually waiting until marriage, because I'm not married again yet. So, I've not seen that success yet, but I have seen in my personal life abstaining from sexual activity in general, saving that for marriage. So no, I'm not a girl that just goes out and has one night stands with random guys. I've really not been with many people at all, actually. I was with my husband, and I've made a couple of mistakes in my life, and I have also been assaulted, which I've shared. So, sorry, trigger warning. Sorry. I'm just so casual about it, because, like, I've healed so much. Like, it is what it is. It's just a story of the past. Like, and that honestly was a huge stepping stone into my surrender. And that's what kind of catapulted me into being done with that life. So I'm grateful, as much as it, you know, sucked. But yeah, so what I'm saying is I've seen all the sides of it, and I want to meet you where you are. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to preach at you. I am going to share a lot of scripture, because I'm not God. I'm not the judge here. He is. So I'm just going to tell you what he says, what his holy word says. And we know that in the beginning was the word, and God is the word. So this is his word. This is from his mouth. but I'm not here to come at you. I want you to know there is hope. If you're struggling, if you're still dealing with guilt of the past, if you desire to move forward in purity, all that. I also want to acknowledge the word purity. I'm going to probably say that a few times. I'm not talking about toxic purity culture. Guys, I went to a school where we had a rule book that literally said we couldn't hold hands or high five. You know, like, I get it. It's not okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we have the time to get into that. So I'm just going to start. We're just going to dive in. The reason I'm talking about this, I want to make it very clear. This is heavy on my heart, heavy in my spirit, because I feel there are a lot of people out here in habitual, unrepentant sexual sin and excusing it in the name of everybody's doing it. The world's doing it. What's the point? We're getting married anyway. I love him. I love her. It's just normal. Nobody cares about that stuff anymore. It's subjective. It's an opinion. I've heard a few things, ways people excuse what the word of God says. At the end of the day, guys, We are called to do things. We are told to do things because we are called to be like Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then your whole goal should be to be like Jesus Christ every single day. And that means listening to what he says. You have to understand, God is not up there, oh no, no, you guys can have any fun. Like, I created this wonderful thing and you can't have it. That's not what he's doing. There is a reason why sex was made for marriage only. And there is a reason why he tells us not to do anything outside of that, because it results in a lot of really bad consequences that nobody wants to deal with. And we'll get into those. So, before we get into anything, I want to give the definition of fornication here, the whole thing about sexual immorality. Fornication is any sexual misconduct or impure sexual activity that occurs outside the bounds of a marriage covenant. That means man and woman, after you say I do, after it's finalized. Not the day before you get married. It's really not that complicated, but we make it complicated. God created it this way. It all started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Adam was made for Eve, Eve was made for Adam, and they obviously became one flesh. That's where all of this starts. This is where it all goes wrong in the world. All right, so let's dive into it. Matthew 15:19. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. It's context, of course, of, you know, what he's talking about defiling. What defiles you? The point is here, clearly we're told, from the heart come these things. We know that the heart is wicked and evil and deceitful and all its ways or something. I'm not a pro with scripture, guys. I know, like, key words. There's a verse that basically says the heart is very wicked. We know that. And then the one psalm or something about, or Proverbs, come the issues of life, out of your heart come the issues of life or something. So we cannot trust our heart. We got to trust God's word, not our heart. So, okay. 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. I'm not getting into that. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. We gotta remember, guys, we don't own our own bodies. Like, our body belongs to God. Our entire being belongs to God. Our entire life, everything about us. And we're the temple. This is where the Holy Spirit resides, and we cannot be in impurity. Your body was bought with a price, so we should act like it. We should live like it. And the biggest, there's two points that I want to make in this section. First one, no other sin clearly affects the body more than this one. There are no other sins that we can commit that are as bad as this to our body. You're not just sinning against God. You're sinning against your own body. That should matter to us. Does a few moments of pleasure really make up for that? No. At the end of the day, you're sinning against your own body. And God takes that very seriously. The second point, this is something I've personally just really deeply experienced and I wish I could scream it from the rooftops and everybody would just listen to me. When you sleep with someone, you create a soul tie. You become one flesh with that person. So if you are not married to that person, you become one with that person. And that's not okay. So if you break up with that person, which it's very likely that's typically what happens, not only are you going to be dealing with that breakup and that grief as a normal breakup would cause, you are now attached to that person. You have a soul tie with that person. You are connected to that person. So fast forward, when you choose to get married someday, you've got however many people you've slept with, all these soul ties you're carrying into your next relationship or your marriage. So even beyond just getting married, when you get into another relationship, you're carrying the soul ties of the previous people. This stuff is real, guys. I've experienced it. I lived it. You gotta break that crap off. And I can do some research and put something in the description box or something as far as prayers that you can pray, but ultimately, it's really not that complicated. It really isn't. I mean, I personally went through this book called Bondage Breaker, and we went through that process. It was one of the steps, but I simply believe that you can just ask the Lord to break off the soul tie, declare it broken in the name of Jesus, declare the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over you, over that person, that it would be severed and broken, and renounce all sexual sin with that person. And it's done. But you have to be repentant. You can't be like, God, I renounce it and forgive me, blah, 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 and then go do it again. Obviously, that would be stupid. No, like, you have to repent of the sin. You have to renounce it. You have to walk away from it. But I'm saying, even if you're not currently in the sin and you just have past soul ties you need to have broken, that's what you should do. That's how you should go about it. I have three different people that I've had relations with, if you will. One of them was my marriage, which is a-okay and acceptable, but again, I did sin prior, so I did have to work through all that and repent of that, and yeah, that was a whole problem. And then the other two were outside of marriage and outside of my husband, so I had to renounce those soul ties. One of them was the assault, and that person, I'm gonna tell you a story. So this was like the last straw for me. I've shared this with you already, so go back and listen to the episodes in the past if you want to know the full story. But basically, I was seeing this guy. It was an old friend I reconnected with, and we made it very clear that there was not going to be any activity. like, probably the day before. But again, situations were set up. I was in a bad place, and he took advantage of me. And when he did, I did not understand the weight of what was going to happen to me spiritually until later. I went to the doctor, because after things like that happen, I have to make sure everything's okay. And when I was in there, I was waiting on them to come in, and I saw this chart on the wall. And we've heard about these, like, in sex ed class or things like that. But it just hit differently because I saw it in a deeper way. I saw it in a spiritual lens. So I see this chart, and it's like, okay, so if this person and this person sleep together, but this person had sex with these three people, then that means that person has also been connected to these three people. This is how STDs happen. This is how all these horrible things happen when we just don't listen to what God says. and so then also same thing for this person. Like, if this person was three people, then that person was with those people. And like, so it just keeps going. Like, if those three people were with these two people, then all of these people are connected, and it just keeps going. And it's like terrifying. And so I saw that, and I knew this person was with a lot of people. I didn't know how many. But when I had asked, he said he didn't know how to count how many. So it was really disturbing. And so I realized not only have I been physically in contact with those potential people, but spiritually, those souls are connected to me. And so when I went through Bondage Breaker, we had to cover it all. We had to go through it and really break it down. This guy had a history, unfortunately. It was a very bad situation. But I didn't understand how much oppression came from that. Because it was bad enough that the sin happened with him, but everything that he'd done and was connected to. Basically, people, gonna be crazy demon lady here, because why not? I don't even care anymore. This stuff is real, okay? Those demons got access to you now. You're connected to those. So I had a lot that I had to get worked out. And this breaks my heart for people, because there are people that just casually think this is okay and just go out and do it all the time, do it whenever they want. And you have no idea how many things you're opening yourself up to. No idea. And I will say, you have to understand, the demonic is real. We've talked about it. I've shared my stories on it. I've shared my thoughts on it. It is real. And you don't want to mess with it. Sin is an open door. So if you are sleeping with your girlfriend currently, in habitual sin, the devil has access to you. So if you have outrageous anxiety, that's probably why. If you're depressed and suicidal, that's probably why. Yeah. Those are just two tiny little examples of the different ways that we can be oppressed through this kind of sin. But ultimately, you have to understand, the demonic has legality, if you will. Like, they have legal access to you when you sin. Now, I'm not saying, like, I don't know, when I have, like, a bad thought. It's not like, oh, a demon can just come in and, like, ruin my life. No. What I'm saying is, when you are in habitual sin and you're not repenting of it, unrepentance equals open door. It's that easy. This is why I'm always talking about repentance. You cannot live in unrepentance and be rooted in Christ. You can't do them. They don't go together. It doesn't work. Either you're in Christ or you're in the world. I'm going to come back to a verse that will back that up at the end. It's my like closing section. But I just really wanted to emphasize how important this soul tie stuff is. It's really deep, guys. So I really highly encourage you, just wait. Just wait. It's worth it if you just wait. I'm like so happy that I get the redemption. I get the option to wait. Now I know that I've got to do it the right way. And I'm really, really excited to do it the right way and experiencing it and experience it the way that God intended for it to be experienced. Because it's going to be way better than doing it in sin. Sex is a sacred thing. It's a beautiful thing, a creation of God. It is literally worship to God. All things are worship. You know, whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, do it all for the glory of God, right? Even sex is worship, but it's only worship. It's only sanctified. It's only holy when done in the bounds of a marriage covenant. God's blessings will pour out if we would just be obedient. On to the next verse. All right, 1 Corinthians 7:2. I mean, I guess 1 and 2. Now, regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. But because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. And then continuing on, there's like a bunch of stuff about like husbands and wives and sex, all that. And then it gets to the point of, I say this as a concession, not as a command, but I wish everyone were single just as I am, yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am, but if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. There's nothing wrong with having sexual desire. If you're dating someone and you want to marry them someday and you don't have any sexual desire for them, I'd be a little concerned. That's not normal. It's not. You're expected to have those desires. God does not condemn the desire. He condemns the sin, the what we do with the desire when we act on it outside of his will. Speaking of, I talked about this in my God's Will podcast, but it's on my notes right here, so ironically, it's perfectly right there. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin, then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor. I don't know if there's like a gap or something, but then it continues, not in lustful passions like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. It is God's will that you abstain from sexual immorality. That is his will for you. So if you are not doing that, you are not in God's will. So I highly encourage you, if you are in this kind of sin, repent, get out, and jump into God's will. You're not going to have blessing outside of God's will. And you don't, and then also, if you're not in God's will, you're probably not in God. So I would be a little concerned. I'm just speaking the truth, guys. I'm just trying to tell the truth because I love you and I really want to see you in heaven and not here. Depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want that to be you. Continuing on, 2 Corinthians 12:21. I think this is Paul talking, his concerns for the Corinthians. And he says, yes, I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence and I will be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure. The reason I'm taking you through these verses, I'm trying to give you every little ounce of proof you need to believe that this is wrong. This is sinful. And it's very clear in the scriptures. God is telling us, do not do this. Because you're not going to listen to me if I just tell you, don't have sex before marriage. I'm just lame. I'm boring. I'm not cool. I'm not like the world. So you're not going to listen to me. So, I'm just relaying to you what God says. That's what I said at the beginning. Okay, continuing on, I'm going to go through the warnings now. I have like little categories. The warnings start in Galatians. Where's Galatians? Good old Galatians. Galatians 5:19-21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it continues on about the fruits of the Spirit, which most people know. So that's not, I mean, it's relevant, but you get the point. So once again, these are just the warnings, the reminders that this is not going to make it into the kingdom, so it's highly looked down upon, and I don't recommend continuing it if you want to be in the kingdom of God. I just don't know how to get it. I don't know how to get people to understand. This is real. It is so real, guys. I was at the post office today trying to send off a package, and I was in line, and there were so many people in line. And it just hit me as I'm looking around the room at all these random strangers. I have no idea what their names are, no idea what they're going through. I don't know who the heck they are. And I'm standing there and I'm like, every single one of these people is going to stand before the Lord someday. And they're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. whether they believed it or not. And be judged. And then they will be eternally either separated with the Lord or with the Lord forever. Every single person on this planet will experience that, dead or alive. So when God says something's not going to enter into the kingdom, you should probably take it pretty seriously. Continuing on, Hebrews 13:4. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. I've talked about this before on the pod, but again, I need to emphasize. Judge, as in make right. Like a judge in a jury kind of situation. Not judge as in look down on you and tell you're a horrible person and, you know, the way we interpret judgment in our world, because apparently Christians are the most judgmental people on the planet. Again, different kind of judgment. He will surely judge those who are in sexual immorality. Keep it for marriage. 1 Corinthians. Going back to Corinthians. We got another verse about entering the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality. And it continues if you want to know the rest. Or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. That's three verses now that we're told. Sexual sin does not equal going into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 10:8. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. And the story is talking about the people who celebrate with feasting and drinking and they indulge in pagan revelry. It's an Old Testament story, I believe. Ultimately, once again, we are reminded, we are commanded, do not engage in sexual immorality. Good old Jude. I like this one. You know, Jude is a hidden gem, guys. Go read Jude. It's back there, right before Revelation. It's really good. Jude 1:7. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. I think that speaks for itself. It's just the same message over and over again. Ephesians 5:3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. And then it continues in verse 5. It says, no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. Colossians 3:5-6. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior. 3, 5, 6. I read too much, sorry. But yeah, you get the point. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. 2 Peter 2:10, he is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. This is one of those verses where you could go read a different translation and get a different wording. Obviously, it's going to be worded differently. I actually had a situation where I posted this on my Facebook. I just post random verses that I feel like the Lord wants me to post. And someone who was in homosexuality commented thinking that I was talking about them. And I'm like, actually, twisted sexual desire to me and to the scriptures is not just homosexuality. Like, I'm talking about fornication, adultery, pornography, prostitution, you know, all the good stuff, all sexual sin. So again, he is especially hard on this one. I believe, yes, there's the argument that all sin is the same. I'm not gonna get into it. I'm not smart enough to know. I don't know. I'm not perfect. I don't know the Bible from beginning to end. I've not studied it all my life. Like, I do believe that sexual sin is a sin that is greater than the other sins as far as against your own body. Like, God has made that very clear. It's a problem. It's a big deal to him. Okay, so another thing I wanted to say. I heard this at some point in my life. I don't know where, but I'm sure some of you might have heard this. Basically, when you're not married, Satan tries to do everything he can to get you to sin, to have sex with your person before you get married. But when you get married, Satan's number one goal is that you do not come together. And so my point in that is that just proves even more. It is a holy thing. It is a sacred thing. And he wants us to have nothing to do with that in the right bounds. But when it's outside of the bounds, it's not, and it's sinful. And that's why he pushes so hard. That's why you hear these stories about these couples where they'll be married and then just struggle with their desire for each other because the enemy is infiltrating the marriage and trying to cause problems. This is why we have adultery and all that crap and pornography and... Satan hates marriage, hates sex in marriage, hates anything sacred, anything holy, definitely does not like purity in any way. That's why he forces himself so much on the people when you're not in those bounds. That's why it can be extremely tempting and really hard for a lot of people. So I want to come to you now. We've gone through the warnings, we've gone through the fact that it's wrong. I hope you believe what God says now. It's not about what I'm saying. It's about what God says. And I'm so sorry if I am coming across a certain way. This is so, so important to me. I've just had so much experience on both sides here. And I've seen the glory of God, the healing of God, the grace of God, the wrath of God. I've seen it all. So I just want everyone to understand this is a very real sin and God will deal with it harshly. But it is a beautiful thing that can be experienced in the proper context and can honor and glorify God. So it's not that you can't have it. It's not that it's never going to happen. You have to be obedient though. And so what I was saying is, I want to come to you with the hope. As someone who was on the side of, I struggle not going to a guy's house every night. I would literally sit there and I'm like, I know I shouldn't do it, but I really want to go. But I know I'm going to regret it when I go. And what did I do? I went and I regretted it. And I went back home and I did it again the next day and I did it again the next day and the next day. Like, I've been there. But then there was the day when I decided I'm not going to go. And there was like this sense of accomplishment, like blessing. Like, we did it, God. Like, we didn't go screw it up. We didn't make a mistake tonight. Like, and the more I experienced God's blessing when I said no, the easier it was to keep saying no. And eventually I was able to break away from it completely, and God completely freed me from that. But I want to give you some hope here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Very common verse. A lot of people know it. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. I also want to point out the verse prior, verse 12. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. I'm not here saying that I've got it all figured out. I don't ever struggle. I'm never tempted. Also, I'm not in a relationship, so I'm not being tested in that way right now. But yeah, I've had struggles with sexual dreams a lot in my life. Like, that was something I had to have broken during Bondage Breaker. And I've had intrusive thoughts. I've struggled with that. I really struggled with the M word. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that anymore because people are get all sensory and stuff out here in the social media world. But I struggle like a heck of a lot with that. And that was something that I had to be freed of. And what it took, though, was my submission to the Lord and dedicating my body to him and surrendering to his will for me in that area. So I know I'm going to be tempted, especially with my potential future husband when I get there, before we get married. You know, that's going to be hard. But I believe that God has empowered me with strength. He's always given me a way out. And, well, I guess we could talk about it now since we're going to veer into it. I want to talk about some just practical, simple things you can do to kind of not put yourself in a situation that is tempting. And ultimately, that's the whole goal here. Why flirt with sin? Don't even give it an opportunity. There's a quote. I'm not going to remember it. It's something like, every opportunity to be tempted is an opportunity to glorify God. I'm jacking it up. That's the general idea. That specific quote I'm thinking of, though, really helped me, because I stopped looking at these tempting situations as this dread, like, oh, I'm just never going to be free of this. I'm never going to figure this out. And I saw it as, I have an opportunity to glorify God right now by saying no, by walking away, by not giving into this. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, if you don't want to be tempted, don't put yourself in a tempting situation. I'm going to give you some simple things that worked for me. My number one rule, I got this from, I thought of it first, but then Tim Ross said it, and I was like, hey, that's a good idea. I thought about that, but I'll give you the credit for it because I didn't say it out loud yet. Don't you hate it when that happens? But I had a rule that, you know, when I date again, there will be no kissing horizontally. Horizontal, vertical. I hope I got that right. Because horizon, right? Sun, yeah. And yeah, so I have been in a couple situations since I made that decision, where I made that very clear, and that really helped. Really, really helped. Easy fix. So I really recommend that. I don't want to say that you can't be alone, but know your limits. If you're going to be alone, not saying you can't get away with things in the public and things like that, but just, I wouldn't be laying down with your boo at, you know, 2 a.m., and stay in each other's houses and things like that, if you're trying to maintain purity here. But again, I'm not you. Like, I don't know what your limits are. You can do that and not sin. But if you know that's going to be a really weak temptation for you, I wouldn't even give the opportunity a chance. What's some other stuff? I'm not against praying together before marriage. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But be careful, because that builds a deep intimacy with someone before you're married to them. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, and I don't, like, speak against it. Praying with your boyfriend, girlfriend is wonderful. But again, just know your limits here. That is going to open more temptation up, because it's going to breed... it's going to create an intimacy and draw you guys closer. And it is a very spiritual thing. A lot of people say that it makes them horny, literally. So, like, just be careful. What was the other thing? Horizontal opportunity. You know, my biggest thing when I was dating back then and trying to figure out things with people, I was put in situations with guys that really disappointed me. Like, I was open. I struggle with this. Like, this has been a weakness in my life. And they would use that to their advantage and put me in a situation that was extremely tempting or uncomfortable or put us in a bad place. And my goal after I'd had enough of it was, I need a man that's going to be strong enough to protect me. I want to talk to the men for a minute. You are the protector of your future wife. You are going to honor her best by honoring her body before marriage. If you truly love her, you should want to protect her at all costs. And that gift of intimacy is meant for you guys when you're married. So respect her enough, love her enough, treasure her enough to keep her clothes on. It truly sickens me how uncommon it is to find a man that wants to protect his girl's purity. Like, I'm literally out here like, yo, bare minimum, but are you out there? Anybody? Anybody? Like, it's sad. It's so sad that I have friends, people that have opened up to me, girls that have opened up to me, telling me they're a virgin and they're embarrassed. Whether you're a girl or a guy, if you are a virgin, you are a gem. You are a rare find. That is a special thing that not many people can say they have. Hold on to that. Treasure that and protect that with everything that you can. Because that is one of the greatest gifts you can give your future spouse. Is yourself. Knowing that you were not given to anyone else. It sucks when you're on my side. You've been through the things that I've been through, and you can say that I can't actually do that. I can't say to my future husband that he's the only one that got me. And it sucks. But, you know, I went off and got married and did stupid things. So I'm gonna pay that, you know? But I do believe that spiritually we can be purified. You know, when we repent, when we walk away from our sin, God does cleanse us, God does forgive us, and he can purify us. So no, I'm not a virgin physically to the world, to the realm out here. But I believe I've been forgiven, purified, and redeemed. So to an extent, I can sort of give that to my husband, but I wish I could have given him better. So if you are a virgin, there's no shame. It really breaks my heart that people think this is not okay. I got off track a little bit, but I shared some just simple ways. Just don't put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. And honestly, if I can just be so frank with you, just say no. I think about, Nike? The like logo is just do it. So I started applying that with just say no. So anytime I was tempted with the sexual situation I dealt with in the past, it was just don't do it. I've been in situations with guys where things got heated and I got to step away and go, hey, I need a minute. Need to cool down. get my body back to normal, regulate myself, and then I don't screw things up. I don't make mistakes. Again, this is a real struggle for a lot of people. As human beings, we want to be sexual. God literally said, go and procreate. Go have sex. But do it with your husband and wife. So it's totally natural and it's totally okay. It's just, it has to be done the right way. So just don't do it. Just say no. And if you're struggling with lust, pornography, the M word, I guess pornography probably should be censored too. My bad. Oh well. There's freedom for you too. Now, I never watched porn. As a kid, I went through sexual abuse and I was very entertained and very intrigued by sex. And so I did purposely go like try to find TV shows and episodes where there was like a sexual scene or something because I wanted to feel something as a poor kid. But thankfully, I never dove into pornography. And I believe that's God's protection and blessing over me. But I did end up getting into like erotica when I was a teenager before I got saved. Again, I believe there is a demonic aspect to it. You might need deliverance. But here's the thing. You get the option to stay delivered. If you're delivered, if you go back home and you click that screen, then you're just inviting it right back. Second, go to therapy. There's probably something deeper rooted going on why you want to watch porn. There's so many layers to this battle. And I really just want to say that I'm just sorry that the world can't stop putting it in front of your face. You can't escape it. And I understand we could get into the modesty argument and we're not going to do that. But I understand some women do not have any respect for you. And men, some of you don't have any respect for us. You know, we're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to dress like it, act like it, talk like it. Don't tempt your brothers and sisters. But I don't, this is a whole conversation I don't think we have the time to get into. I just want you to understand that you can be free, that it is possible. But you have to say no. And I know that there is an actual chemical addiction aspect to it. So you're gonna have to go through the withdrawals. It's just like any other addiction. So you have to face it though. If you want to be free, you got to do the hard thing and do what it takes to be free. But I want you to know, if you willingly choose that freedom and you actually repent, genuinely repent, I believe God's grace will meet you in ways you've never expected. And He will help you. God doesn't like it when we're tempted. He doesn't like it when we're suffering. It says right there, He will give us a way out. He wants to give you a way out. So we'll continue on to the last section. So what do we do? 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Oh, there's another verse I don't have written down, but I think it's in James, maybe. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you run from sexual sin, Satan has to flee. I mean, obviously, be submitted to God when you do that. Like, submit to God, run from it, and he will flee. As long as you are submitted to God, Satan can't have his way in you. That's why when you're submitted to God, you don't deal with as much of him. The more you are submitted to God, the less you are submitted to Satan. So he cannot have his way. In Galatians 5, going back to Galatians 5, I mentioned this earlier, but so the other instruction we have. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So once again, we're told to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. So, first thing, run. Submit to God, run, and let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And this just gives us more proof about how the flesh and the spirit are at war and always constantly fighting, and you gotta kill your flesh, crucify your flesh. That's also another thing we get out to our list. Crucify your flesh. I don't know which verses those are, but there are many of them. You are new now. You live for Jesus. Die to yourself. Give up what you want and submit to what God wants, which is his will for you, which is to abstain from sexual immorality. Romans. Okay, we're almost done. Romans. Good old Romies. Romans 12. Romans 12, 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. I'm going to add this because I feel it's relevant. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I feel like that ties in really well with everything we just said. And it's a reminder that, again, I used to say this all the time. I had a friend that struggled with pornography, and I said, anytime you're tempted, play worship music. Open your Bible. It's kind of awkward. Like, I don't think I can do that if I'm in the middle of doing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, I've done it. It works. It makes it awkward fast. So, when you're tempted, turn on worship music or open your Bible. Or pray. You can always pray, too. Okay, and then I want to end here. I mentioned this earlier, a closing section. Why is all of this so important besides everything I've already mentioned? I got a long section, so just bear with me here. Romans 6, verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Key verse. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. I highly recommend going and reading Romans 6, the whole chapter. Very, very powerful. I wanted to close with this specific passage, because this is the point. Shall we go on sinning? Of course not. You are a new creation. Your life is now in Christ. You are no longer a slave to your sin. So when you give your life to Jesus, I'm not going to go into the whole thing on this topic, but I'm going to come back to what I said at the beginning. You have to repent of your sin to go with Jesus. If you truly want Jesus, you're going to repent. And repentance is not a one-time choice. It is an active lifestyle. We are to live in constant repentance, daily repentance. Unrepentance is an open door, like I said earlier. So even people like me, like I like to not do anything wrong. I like to be really close to Jesus. And I want to do anything I can to be near him. And even I, every night, repent of my sin. God, I thought this today. I said this to this person. I handled this incorrectly. I didn't listen to you when you told me to do this. I was disobedient here. We have to be willing to live unrepentant if we really want to be with Jesus. Heaven isn't about us. It's about him. God can't be near sin. That's why we have to be repentant. So when you are truly transformed, when you give your life to Christ, not just, Jesus, come into my heart, I believe you're real. No. When you actually give your life to Christ and you say, I'm going to live for you, I'm going to crucify my flesh and live for you, you are made new. His Spirit comes inside of you, dwells within you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you have to repent. You have to turn away from sin. You cannot go back to habitual sin. Sexual immorality is habitual sin. And so while all of this is kind of a no-brainer for many people, there are people out here who I know do not agree. And maybe you still don't agree with me right now. It doesn't matter if you agree with me. It's the truth. I'm just standing here warning you, telling you the truth, and if you don't heed that warning, if you don't accept that truth, I can't control your life. But just don't say no one warned you. When you're standing before him on Judgment Day, and having sex with your girlfriend was more important to you than standing before your maker and having to, you know, throw away your eternity. And that's the thing, guys. When you look at the grand scheme of things, is it really that worth it? I don't know about you, but I just want Jesus. And I want to be with him forever. I want to be in heaven with all my friends and family, and hopefully. I want to be in his eternal glory forever. So that means I'm going to have to die to myself every day. I'm going to have to do the things I don't want to do and not do the things I want to do. But it'll be so much more worth it than doing the things that I know I should be doing. Why would I gamble with my eternity for moments of pleasure on this earth that can't compare to the pleasure I'll experience in heaven forever? I say all this with love. Please, please repent. Please offer your body as a living sacrifice. Give everything to God. And watch how much your life transforms and changes. Sin is not cool. Everyone makes it out to be. You know, the wicked, awful things that are going on in Hollywood are just a bigger reflection of what's going on here in our everyday world. It's literally not even normal to have a movie or a TV show without sex in it. Unless it's literally, like, family made. They push their agenda. Because it's Satan's agenda. And he's just going to do everything he can to try to keep you away from God. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to look anything like it. If you look like the world, I would be concerned. Your worldly friends should be very surprised by how different you are from them if you're in Christ. And that's coming from someone who was extremely lukewarm. I had a lot of friends that were not very surprised. They were surprised that I was doing things that they were doing, saying things they were saying. I thought you were a Christian. Like I said, grand scheme of things, big picture, eternal perspective. Does it really matter? I love you guys. I do. And I'm doing this because it's the truth and it matters more than anything else. This stuff is what matters. I don't want to see anybody perish. And neither does God. He said it's not his desire for anyone to perish. And there's literally a scripture that says he's not slow in keeping his promise about coming back. He's just waiting for people to repent. And then in the book of Luke, it says, repent or you will perish too. Jesus makes it very clear. You have to turn away from sin. And that means knocking off your pride and admitting you're wrong and God is right. But man, the glory that comes with that can't even compare. You just don't even know. So, I encourage you, as someone who's seen both sides, you want to be on this side. There isn't a single person that I've talked to or heard a story about that waited until marriage and regretted it. Or even repented with their person and waited until marriage and regretted it. It's not possible. That is such a beautiful, beautiful thing that you get to share with your person someday. That nobody else can have. That's just your guys' thing. It's your gift to one another that no one can replicate. So, I hope you were encouraged. I hope this helps anyone who had any questions, anyone who's doubted or questioned any of the things I've talked about. As always, I'm here if you have any questions, if you need advice from my experience. I'm always here. Just know you're not alone out here. Any category, anything I've talked about, any of it, you're not alone. There's a verse that says that there's no temptation that isn't common to man. We all experience it. We all go through it in some level, some degree. Some people just have different levels. Some people just have different sins that they struggle with. Someone might struggle with lust, and someone might really struggle with anxiety. Someone might struggle with lust, and someone might really struggle with comparison, envy. You know, it's everybody's different. Everybody has their weaknesses, their struggles, the little points where the enemy tries to weave his way in. So with that, I'm going to close. Thank you guys, as always, for listening, for your time. Know you're not alone, and know that there is always hope. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wait, I always mess this up. I hope you guys have a wonderful day or night, whatever time it is, and I will see you next time.